Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast.
Catch the ball. Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place.
Hey everybody, it's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Did you know that we're on iTunes? We are. If you go to iTunes and search Fansmanship, you can find us, you can subscribe to us, you can leave us comments telling us how much you love the Fansmanship podcast, or telling us, giving us suggestions, telling us who we need to have on, and so forth. So go to iTunes and find the Fansmanship.com podcast. We're happy to be on today. We haven't had a podcast in a little while. I got to be on J.D. Scroggins' podcast at Blogging with Scroggins at the Slow Tribune, but haven't had a chance to do one of our own in a little while. Part of the reason's because I've been out of town, but got a chance to catch up with Andy Stevens, one of the triumvirate here at Fansmanship, who's been a little bit out of commission lately, but seems to be back in the mix now. And so he'll be joining me kind of a little bit later on in another segment. Right now, I want to tell you my story about watching, or trying to view on the internet, the Cal Poly UC Davis game this weekend. So I travel for work a lot. I am sometimes in larger cities, sometimes in smaller cities. Right now I'm in not a huge city, but I am at a hotel, a Hampton Inn, that you would think would have fast enough internet speed to be able to watch, for instance, a football game streaming on the internet. And that's what I thought, and I was sorely mistaken. I got on Saturday evening, I came back from being out and about here in Southern Colorado, and found that when I downloaded the Big Sky TV app, which seems awesome if you have the right bandwidth, seems like just about the best thing in the world. But I didn't have the right bandwidth apparently, and so it would play for about 2 seconds and then freeze for about 20 seconds, and that ratio wasn't really appealing to me. So I decided to try to do something a little bit different, and so I went and tried to find another place that wasn't the Hampton Inn that had internet. I ended up at a noodle/burger place. It was kind of weird. And they had internet that worked, but it was about like the Hampton Inn. I went from there to a hipster coffee shop that had pictures of like mass graves on the wall and atrocities in South America. It was quite a weird little thing. And they didn't even have internet that worked. I could connect to their router, but couldn't get online. And so about the halfway through the second quarter, I made it back to the Hampton Inn before realizing that the little device that I needed, I already had, which was my iPhone. I got online with my iPhone and actually was able to watch the majority of the game on the iPhone through Big Sky TV. I'm also told recently, since then, that KSBY also had the game streaming, and maybe they had it in a way that Hampton Inn could have handled it. Although I kind of doubt it, because the internet here, even to just load like my email, is not good. So finally, I got back, and I guess the lesson is that Verizon's network is better than even the Wi-Fi's at Hampton. So. There you go, lesson learned, and I will be, luckily enough, I'll be in a place that I can actually view the game, the streaming version of the game from North Dakota next week from my house in San Luis Obispo. All that being said, I got to watch all that and see Cal Poly get out to a deficit, overcome that deficit, and then really hang on in the end against UC Davis. Davis has a really good passing attack, and I think that the Big Sky is going to have other teams that have just as good a passing attack, actually a lot better. And a big question is going to be not whether Cal Poly's defense can tackle. We know those guys can tackle. We know they can lay hurt on people, especially running backs and receivers once they've caught the ball over the middle. The question is whether or not they'll be able to prevent those teams from catching the ball in the first place. And while a lot of the Big Sky, and I keep feeling like I'm saying Big West, but I'm meaning Big Sky. Well, a lot of the Big Sky is passing, just like Davis. So Cal Poly is going to really have to figure out a way to be able to stop the passing attacks for the rest of the season if they're going to continue their winning ways. And I guess there's not any reason to doubt them right now, except that they did give up the last 10 points to Davis and look like they could have given up more if there would have just been a little bit more time on the clock or something. So we'll see how their defense turns it around, especially their pass defense, whether they can get pressure on the quarterback. One thing I saw was that their defensive players had their hands on their knees throughout the fourth quarter, especially the defensive linemen. They looked tired. How is the coach going to either sub players differently or figure out a way to make it so that his defensive line isn't just thrashed at the end of the game? That'll be an interesting thing to watch during the upcoming week. Also this weekend here in beautiful Colorado, I got the chance to take a bike ride, and I have a big bike ride coming up on Saturday. So that's kind of also what I've been doing lately, is riding my bike. And I don't know how many people are cyclists on the Central Coast, but and I won't talk about it too much because I know a lot of the people that listen are like just Cal Poly football fans or San Luis fans in general. But I got a bike, and I was able to rent one here in Southern Colorado and go on a little bit of a bike ride last Saturday. And it is, it's kind of weird thinking about it, but it's 7,000 feet here, but it's super flat. So, got my bike ride in. I talked a little bit about it with Andy, coming up here, in the second segment. And so we'll be right back, on the Fansmanship podcast, and I'll talk to Andy Stevens, from fansmanship.com, and we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Scorching hot.
It's the middle of the night and I'm still up, contemplating, wondering if I should give up. Life's getting heavy, hard for me to lift up. Stressing me out, it's hard to keep my head up. But I ain't giving in today. There's gotta be a better way, gotta be a better way to play the game before it plays us the same. I know this getaway, let gravity decay and float on my friend.
Hey everybody, we're back on the fansmanship.com podcast. Owen Main here. Andy Stevens grew up, like myself and Luke Johnson, the whole Fansmanship crew, in Cayucas. And Andy still lives in Cayucas. He was actually on his way to Schooners in Cayucas to for, I think, $3 beer and free wing night is what he said, I think. So sounded pretty good. I wished I could be down there. Hanging out, watching some Monday Night Football. That's where he was headed. And on the way there, he stopped by and spoke to us about what he's been up to. We talked a little bit of Dodgers. The Dodgers collapsed towards the end of the year here, and what that looked like and what it still is looking like. We talked a little bit about the Lakers. The Lakers are going to be on a new network, and Andy's worried about access to that network. And along with that, we talked about Andy's fantasy baseball prowess. He's been in the money of our fantasy baseball league during each of the past three seasons. We've only been doing fantasy baseball here for 3 years, and he's been in the money, top three in each of the 3 years. I spoke with Andy about that and lots more. Hope you enjoy it. This is the Fansmanship.com podcast on Fansmanship.com.
And here we go. Hey, everybody, it's Owen. Welcome to another edition of the Fansmanship.com podcast. Alongside me today is somebody we haven't heard from in a while. Andy, how are you?
Doing great today. I'm back from a little vacation, so I'm refreshed and ready to dive back into the world of sports, both local and around the country.
Awesome. And what'd you do on vacation?
I went up with some family, which is always both fun and interesting, to an area just outside of Lake Tahoe. It's called Twin Lakes. It's a lot of freshwater fishing. It's up about 8,000 to 10,000 feet in the eastern Sierras. So, yeah, I was there for almost a week, and it was great to kind of get away, to get, disconnected from everything and having not only no internet access, but no cell phone or anything at all, and just kind of get out in the wild and get after it. So, yeah, I enjoyed myself.
Were there running toilets?
Yes, there were running toilets, and there was running showers. And
that's like the
best it was all for. Yeah, and you could, gut your fish that you catch in the same kind of station, too. So, yeah, it was good.
Did you catch anything?
Yeah, I did. I actually caught, I caught six. But the seventh one that I could have had would have been the biggest one in the camp, and there were like 10 people. So it was a good 3 to 3.5 pounds, probably maybe 20, 22 inches long. And
nice.
When I was bringing it in, my sinker got caught in the rocks because there was a lot of rocks around the shore, and so I had to go out and try to retrieve it that way, and I didn't even net it. And it broke free and flopped away like a big whale, and I was just, so pissed about that. But hey, you live here and that's fishing.
At least you caught a few. When I fish, I tend to basically not catch anything, no matter what. Like, it just doesn't happen for me, dude. It just doesn't happen. So while you were out fishing, I've been kind of on the Cal Poly Trail out here. I got to follow him out to Wyoming and check that game out, and that was a good time. I actually got to go on somebody else's podcast last week. I got to go on the Scroggcast on J.D. Scroggins' podcast, and that was a fun thing. I think I was the first from afar guest that J.D. ever had, so that was a good time. And J.D. talked or gave props to our venerable announcer, and J.D. is a big fan of the Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast.
Maybe we can get Big Dave to do his stuff.
That's what I told him. I said, dude, Big Dave would totally do one, even if it was just like for goofy times. Would totally do one for this podcast, and would totally say whatever came into his mind, which is sometimes appropriate and sometimes not at times. So
So did you guys talk about the Wyoming game since you were both there for it, or?
Yeah, it was a good time. I kind of did double duty at the Wyoming game. I'm kind of a an amateur photographer, if you will, and so taking pictures was kind of a fun thing to do there, being down on the field, on the sideline, taking as many pictures as I could, and then posting them during the game was something that I thought was a pretty different thing to do. And I think the Mustang Daily tried to post a few during the game as well this last week at the Davis game. But I think for fans who can't be there, seeing still pictures from the game that they're actually watching from a few minutes ago is kind of a unique thing, and a high quality still picture is kind of a unique thing. So we're going to try to do that more often. We've had actually a photographer at the last two soccer games and the last football game now. So David Livingston,
right,
my brother-in-law, has taken a few pictures there, and it's been good. It's been good.
Maybe he can come to the Northern Colorado game, because I'm going to go check that out. So
absolutely. And
I had to adjust that because I was going to go to the Portland State games during the weekend. The California Jets event that I go cover every year, and we get a lot of feedback from that, so I'm going to go do that the following weekend.
So you won't be surprised. I was looking at the different articles and which ones get the most hits, and the California Jets one from last year is still in the top 10 from this past month on fansmanship.com. So there are a lot of people interested in the Jets, and hopefully maybe you can take a recorder up there this year, I'm thinking, and maybe get some podcast interviews and do your own Jet podcast. I think that would be a fun time. So We can talk about putting all those together, but I wanted to tell you that you know, Big Dave certainly has impressed some people with he. I think JD's question was, is that his real voice, or is that like slowed down for? Is that like electronically slowed down? I was like, no, that's just Dave slowing himself down, I think.
Yeah, he's done a lot of announcing. Of course, he first started announcing. He used to drive the tour bus from LA to San Francisco, going on Highway 1 through Hearst Castle and stuff. And back then, you had to, you know, you'd just pop a tape in, and, you know, you're on the right, you're on the left. You had to drive the bus and give the tour at the same time. So he did a lot of, over microphone announcing. And he also did a lot of announcing for Coach Stadium. He was their football announcer there for a good 7-8 years and kind of coined some of his own phrases and a very popular voice up there. So he knows a lot about voice inflection and things like that. He's always been very into that. So, that's his real voice.
Give me a unique Big Dave announcing thing from his Coast Union football days.
It's probably most unique thing that the whole crowd would get into every time there was a Coast Union first down, and he would always go, and that's another Coast Union, and they kind of pause, and they go, first down, and then the whole crowd would get with it, and they go, first down, every time we got one, they would do that. That was kind of his coin, I guess.
Absolutely. Another thing I wanted to ask you about today, since I haven't talked to you in a while, is our fantasy baseball league. You finished in the money for the third straight year. I think you're the only guy to finish in the money for the third straight year, or for each of the first 3 years of the league.
Right.
So congratulations on that.
Yeah, I just actually just posted a message and let the commissioner know that he made note that there were three different champions in 3 years we've been doing it, but there's only been one person that has money in all 3 years, and that would be my team, although I haven't won first. I guess I'm just kind of shaped up like the Atlanta Braves of the league, you know, making the playoffs and winning money, but not having any titles to show for it. So maybe next
year. That's what comes from rooting for the Braves your whole childhood.
Nice. Yep. So,
and in our league, we have two divisions, and one thing that I thought was kind of interesting is that I kind of semi-purposefully threw something out maybe a quarter of the way into the season, and that was that there was one division that, you know, was just mightier than the other divisions, and it caused all kinds of people to freak out, probably more than they should have. But like I said, part of it was by design on my part, and part of it was just, you know, probably having a big mouth for a second, which isn't really like me. But I went ahead and said that, you know, maybe we need to think about division realignment. In the end, I think it proved me exactly opposite, right? Is that what happened?
I actually just posted a thing on that, too, and the division that you said was the weakest actually ended up with a winning record, and the one that you said was the strongest ended up with a losing record. Overall, the better division, my division, I finished with 600 more points scored than the other division total, and that was five teams per. So that's over an average of 100 points better per team.
Yeah, and what's funny about that is that I think inadvertently or on purpose I've created maybe a little bit of a division rivalry now, where people are going to be talking trash about divisions, I hope. And so
right.
I guess we'll see where that goes, but that's...
So moving on, what other topics did you have? You want to talk to Cal Poly? What did you have in store?
Yeah. So I want to talk first about the Dodgers, and this is going to be kind of cathartic for me because I haven't watched the Dodger game in probably about 3.5 weeks. It was probably only about 5 weeks ago that they made their last big trade for Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, and Carl Crawford. And
right.
I was thinking last night about how excited I was then when the Dodgers had a division lead or they were only a game back or something, and that, you know, we'd shored up third base, we got a frontline pitcher, James Loney's not playing first base anymore. And I told a coworker of mine that I wasn't expecting the Dodgers to, you know, do anything crazy this year, like be World Series contenders, because it's really hard to when you get a bunch of new players with only about a month left in the season. But to fall off like they have, I mean, it's it's been really kind of frustrating, and it makes you scratch your head. I don't think it changes what I think about next year, which is kind of weird. Like, I always thought next year after this trade, they only had, I think, 35 games left or 30 games left or something. And so I always kind of thought that maybe it was always going to be next year, because it's hard to get a lot done in 30 games. But that being said, man, it's been weird.
Well, I think first of all, I think that from what we've seen, that we kind of undervalue team chemistry. You can make a team look really good on paper, but it takes quite a while for them to kind of mesh together and kind of have their roles defined and be comfortable with each other, I guess would be a way to put it. And, you know, that certain dynamic goes a long way in the game of baseball. And
isn't that weird? I feel like baseball, more than any other sport, there's that dynamic that, especially with an offensive lineup that has to gel and all do, the right things at the right times. The Dodgers just haven't done that. I think Adrian Gonzalez hit two homers last night, but they were his first ones since his first at-bat with the Dodgers. I mean, is this guy somebody who is going to be a legitimate all-star caliber first baseman from year to year? And if he's not, should the Dodgers be concerned?
Well, I don't think they should be concerned just yet.
He's better than Loney either way, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, he is definitely an upgrade. To what extent of an upgrade is he, that is yet to be determined. So
right.
I wouldn't jump to any conclusions yet. I definitely don't think that he's going to be that 325, 35 home run, 115 RBI guy that he has been in the past. And they say that Dodger Stadium is not very hitter friendly, although we have seen some hitters hit 30 home runs in Dodger Stadium. I still think that he could hit 30. I think realistically for next year, if he can get up to 27, 28 home runs, hit over 300, drive in over 100 runs, that's something that, like we were talking about, the Dodgers haven't had in recent years with Loney at that position. So,
right.
I mean, it's a step in the right direction. Will he be the, end-all world beater at first base that will just, let the Dodgers start lining up world championships? I don't know that. But as of right now, I don't think we should be jumping to conclusions yet with Gonzalez.
Yeah, and I think there's a few other things that get lost in this Dodgers season. I looked at and saw that Aaron Harang has an ERA of like 3.7 or 3.8 this year, and he's like 10-9. For a guy who went into the season as like a borderline fifth starter, that guy's had a really great year. I mean, you talk about a decent pickup by Coletti. I mean, as you know, for a fifth starter, it's solid. That being said, we've still hung our hats on Chad Billingsley, who blew up again this year. Chris Capuano had a nice year, but is, fallen off of late. And Kershaw's hurt. It's really hard to think about pitching depth and the fact that you gave up so much of it for a guy like Beckett, who at best seems to be kind of matching with what Billingsley can provide nowadays.
Well, I remember saying at the beginning of this season on one of our podcasts, or I don't know if you remember what I said, what is the key to the season for the Dodgers to be successful this upcoming year? And I said, it's not any of the frontline guys. What it is, it's all based on two guys. I'm sorry, I got a big truck going down the road right now. I can't seem to get away from noise.
It's all good. I can't hear
you. At any rate, I said it all depended on two guys, Chris Capuano, Aaron Harang. If they did reasonably well, then the Dodgers would have a shot. If they didn't, then they would have a big hole at those third and fourth starter roles and fifth starter roles.
Yeah.
And that would really hurt the Dodgers. So they have done well. Capuano had a great start to the season, but realistically, it's kind of fallen off here towards the end. The same can be said for Harang. His overall numbers look great. He's kind of been gotten knocked around lately in the past month. And
right.
The Dodgers, as a team, as of right now in September, are only 9-11.
Right.
So when they're trying to fight for a playoff spot, you can't go under 500 and expect to get there. So
always worry about when it comes to the pitching is this concept that like people will be content with the Aaron Harangs of the world because he outperformed what we expected of him. Whereas, that's not Aaron Harang's probably not a starter, a playoff starter for any team who's going to contend for anything at any time. I mean, I like the guy. He's done awesome this year, but he's a right-handed pitcher who throws, you know, in the high 80s, generally speaking, and I think his velocity has actually been up a little bit this year into the 90s. But, you know, I'm just this season's just been so odd. And
a playoff starter, no.
What's that?
A playoff starter, he wouldn't be anyway. You know, so I guess if you have that expectation, it's probably going a little too far.
Right.
Just a serviceable starter. As far as a playoff starter, you know, I mean, if Billingsley were healthy, he could get thrown in there.
Or Lily.
If you had to, or Lily, but if you had to, you know, Leon Kershaw, Beckett, Capuano, if they were all hitting their stride at the right time, you know, that could be a pretty formidable force. I mean, what did the Dodgers have when they went into Chicago and won the divisional series a couple years ago? They just had Kershaw and Corona. I guess Corona was probably a pretty big loss.
I'm a big Corona fan. I don't know. I've said that before. I think the guy's a gamer. I think when the Yankees make the playoffs this year, Corona's going to get one or two just amazing, you know, gutsy kinds of wins in the American League playoffs. That's my bold prediction. And you know, when it comes to the Dodgers, for me, I think the other thing to look forward to next year, and unfortunately that's where I'm at right now, but I got to think about Carl Crawford as being kind of exciting too. So to have Crawford, Ethier and Kemp in the outfield, to have Adrian Gonzalez and Hanley Ramirez on the infield, if the Dodgers don't win 90, 95 games next year, I will call it a huge bust. You know, as far as what it looks like, but I can't call it that this year with all the change and tumult that's happened. I just can't do that.
Yeah, well, I think fans kind of got their hopes a little too high because it was such an epic move. I mean, there hasn't been a trade where so much has changed hands,
right,
going away. Since, you know, well, I don't know, the dead ball era. I mean, I can't remember the last time there was a trade that big.
For a while, the Dodgers had random guys on their team, like Piazza, and when Piazza got traded, they had like Bobby Bonilla and like some other guys that were pretty random.
Right. Well, I also think, moreover, that the bullpen has kind of been an issue too. There's been a lot of injuries there. You definitely need to shore that up going into next year, and that's something that doesn't take a lot to find really good bullpen help as far as money is concerned. And the Dodgers seem like they have the money to go out and do it. So, free agent market starts in the offseason, that should be one of their main concerns, is to get out there and get two or three new guys that are proven guys that will kind of restock that bullpen that seems to lose a few guys to injuries and ineffectiveness. So,
right.
I think another thing, and one more final thing about the Dodgers, what do you think about the what is now becoming more of a cult sensation, Mr. Cruz at third base.
Yeah. Cruz was a guy
What do you think about him going into next year? I mean, they get D. Gordon back.
Put
Hanley back at third. Where does Cruz play? Move over to second.
Hanley is, you know, a guy who can play third or short. And
I don't like him at shortstop at all, defensively. I do not like him at all at short defensively. It's like watching a panic attack every time. I mean, he's slow.
That's okay. Yeah, no, I understand. So you know, the concept is this, that the Dodgers, for a lot of this year, did try out some newer guys. They tried out D. Gordon at the beginning of the year. He was actually something that was really positive. At the spring training game that I went to, one of them, D. Gordon started and Luis Cruz came in like the fourth inning and played the rest of the game. And I didn't know who the guy was. It turns out that he's probably been one of the top, you know, three or four players for the team all year, I would say, as far as his game-winning hits, his consistency. Even guys like A.J. Ellis, who started off the year in all-star form, have kind of fallen off. I think Cruz is a guy who really, you know, who's undervalued, and I think Cruz would be a great guy to have, you know, as either a backup or starting and platooning with a guy like Gordon. I think it would be cool to be able to play Gordon some days and Cruz other days, depending on lefty righty. I think it would be cool to pinch, you know, have Gordon to pinch run if that's what the situation called for. I don't know that Gordon's ever going to be able to hit or get on base enough to warrant kind of the hype that goes, you know, that surrounds his speed.
Starting shortstop, leadoff hitter. Yeah, well, maybe if they somehow can get rid of Adam Kennedy and Juan Uribe.
Cut him already, please? Both of them?
Yeah. Then Cruz can be that guy that can play third, second, or I mean he'll be the first extra infielder behind Margulies and D. Gordon and Haley Ramirez. But I just don't know if Cruz is a guy. I mean, he's kind of a guy that seems like it needs to play every day to do something.
Yeah, I don't know. He's come in random situations. I think he'd be okay. The last thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and it's actually a good segue. The Dodgers have a ton of star power. And they got most of that star power this year. The team up until this year for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years especially, who's had the star power in L.A. has been the Lakers. And the Lakers this year were able to sign or get via trade Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, along with being able to sign for a guy off the bench. I think this is the underrated part of this year's this offseason's transactions. They got Antoine Jameson as well. So I guess I want your take. Are the Lakers really, you know, a lot better? Are they a little better? Is this all kind of smoke and mirrors because we know Howard and Nash and Kobe are all going to get hurt at some point? What's your take on the season?
Well, first of all, I think there's Steve Nash is going to have an even bigger effect on this team than even Dwight Howard as far as the new acquisitions, because Nash just brings a complete different dynamic to this Laker offense. I mean, they ran the triangle for so long, ran it well, didn't really need a point guard. They bring in specials last year. He had the skill, but he just didn't have that clutch gene, really, and it really showed some playoff time. You know, he was getting hit, the rim gets hit in the backboard on his jumper. So the pressure definitely got to him. Steve Nash is a guy that knows how to get everybody involved. And I think a lot of people made the comparison of this team. You know, people that are, I don't know, I won't say the word hater, but detractor of the Lakers.
You mean like Luke, the Laker hater?
Yeah. You know, there's lots of them out there. And I've heard it from many people, but they think it's comparable to the team that they're trying to put together with Karl Malone, Gary Payton, and Shaq and Kobe. There are a lot of dissimilarities, actually, with that team. Steve Nash, Gary Payton is no Steve Nash. I mean, he can play defense, but he isn't the cohesive glue type of guy that Steve Nash is. I mean, you can put Steve Nash on any team, he's going to make them better.
Right.
Just by his unselfishness, just by his ability to get other people open shot.
Sure.
He's the ultimate facilitator in the NBA. So I think that will go a long way. And I think Dwight Howard, if he can stay healthy and not have back issues, will be that type of guy that will just kind of clean up, you know, on the offensive glass.
Sure.
Get a lot of rebounds. Tom Gasol doesn't have to, you know, because I would say Bynum, he was definitely somewhat physical, but it seemed like Gasol had to kind of get in there and help him out at times. A guy like Howard, you know, puts Bynum to shame as far as physical conditioning, as far as running the floor, as far as working on the glass. I really see a big improvement there.
So your starting lineup for the Lakers then is Howard, Gasol, Ron, and I don't know if you ever saw the Blues Clues or whatever that was that Ron was on. That was insane. I'll probably post it. I know I posted it on our fansmanship page, on our Facebook page.
I guess I missed that one.
Ron, Kobe, and Nash. And with that star power, it's kind of an interesting storyline this year. The Lakers, are they no longer on KCAL, or is it just their home games that are on this new network, Andy? Do you know?
They're no longer on KCAL. The KCAL Los Angeles Lakers days are 100% over.
So all their games, every single Laker game then will be on this new Laker TV, I think it's called, or like the Lakers.
Every single Laker game that isn't nationally televised.
Right.
You've got to think there's going to be a lot of times where the Lakers will be on ESPN when they have their game of the week on, I believe it's Wednesday and Fridays, and then TNT has Tuesdays and Thursdays. You got to figure the time the Lakers are playing on those nights now with this new superstar named team. They will be on national TV, but for all the times that they are on national TV, they will be on this, it's called Time Warner Sports Network. And it's through Time Warner, who, that is a cable company kind of like Charter or Comcast. And I'm not even sure if they're on Charter, let alone DirecTV. I know they're not on DirecTV yet, because that's what I have. And they're still trying to work out a deal. And hopefully they get one done before the season begins. I haven't even looked into Charter. But it might be a situation where, you know, I'm going to have to change my cable to Charter, because if it means having no Laker games, and I don't want to watch a Laker game on a Saturday night or a Sunday night when it's not nationally televised, I would go ahead and make the change. That's how big of a Laker fan that I am.
Sure, sure. And when you think about it, I mean, it's quite a play in the cable business right now. Basically, everybody is super pumped on sports, because the concept is that sports doesn't, you know, if you can't DVR sports and it be just as good. It's timely that you have to be watching it live, and so the commercials that you can sell based on sports programming are the most lucrative ones that are out there for sure. So you're telling me that it might not be on Charter, it's not on DirecTV. Could there be a situation where there's no Laker games available except for the nationally televised ABC ones, the Mike Breen ones? Could there be a situation of that?
There could very well be that situation, because here locally, our only option is Charter other than DirecTV or Dish Network.
Right.
We don't have Comcast. We don't have Time Warner like they can get with Ralph.
So, right.
So we'll kind of see how that shakes out. Speaking of shaking out, what about a little bit more about the Lakers bench? We talked about the starting five. You have Jameson coming off the bench. I was trying to remember the other acquisition that they got that I think will definitely help them out a lot. Off the bench, he was a guard. He played it. He played for the Sixers last year. He's kind of an instant offense type of guy. Jody Meeks.
Out of Kentucky. He was like Kentucky's leading scorer before Pitino got all recruit happy the year before, I think. The year before, I want to say Derrick Rose, the John Wall, and he might have even overlapped with Wall at Kentucky, but he was definitely the leading scorer the year before Wall was there. And the dude can flat out score. I mean, he can put the ball in the basket.
Right.
It's going to be, you know, an interesting combination, because with guys like Kobe and Nash playing defense, obviously the Dwight Howard situation underneath is helpful, but the perimeter defense isn't going to be great for the Lakers. Kobe's old. Nash is old. Ron can't really keep people from driving by him. I'm really interested to see how the Lakers can defend or can't defend outside shooting this year, because it's definitely something to that even with all the improvements they've made, they haven't really improved their defense. And Mike Brown always espouses to be this big defensive guy. I just feel kind of odd about this team. I hope that everything works out the way that they want it to, but I feel just odd about the way that everything's kind of come together, the way that Dwight Howard has handled himself, Kobe's still thinking that he's, you know, about something. I don't know. I'm a little bit of a skeptic for somebody who's a diehard. I'm a little bit of a skeptic this season. I think they'll be interesting, which is always the most important thing if you're in LA, but whether they can get past Oklahoma City, here's what it's going to take. It's going to take every single player being healthy in the playoffs. It's going to take Kobe not, and it's going to take Kobe deferring for once. And he started to do that a little bit in the first season they won the championship without Shaq. That was the year they beat the Magic. Kobe started to defer a little bit more. but I don't know. I'm skeptical as to whether or not he can actually kind of continue that deferring throughout.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see who's going to have the ball for the final shot. Will they put the ball in Nash's hands? Will they put the ball in Bryant's hands?
It's got to be in Nash's hands, right? I mean, you can't just give it to Kobe and have everybody clear out. You got to give it to Steve, right?
You do. And I do think, like I said, I think in a prior podcast that we had, I think Kobe's minutes are going to go down as Nash can stay healthy. I think Kobe's going to take less shots per game, and I think he's going to have a higher field goal percentage this year than he has in the recent past, because he's not going to have the ball in his hands. Nash is going to be able to get him shots. You have a defense sagging once Nash gets in the lane to try and protect themselves with guys like Howard and Gasol down low that Nash is going to be able to get alley-oops to. Well, who's going to be open on the perimeter for wide-open jump shots? Kobe. And he's probably never had that. And Kobe's never had them. I mean, for the 16 years that he's been in the league, this is going to be the first year where I think that this role is definitely going to change within an offense. He's still going to be the go-to guy in certain situations, but I think his role within the offense is going to change. He's not going to take as many shots, but he's going to have more open shots, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We're here on the fansmanship.com podcast. I'm going to encourage people. We are on iTunes. So I'm going to encourage people, if you've made it this far, to look us up on iTunes and follow us, maybe rate us, give us a 5-star rating or something like that.
Maybe 4 or 5.
Maybe about 9 stars would be positive.
Yeah.
And even leave a comment, because I think that helps us when you do that. It helps other people maybe get to know us. Andy.
Good, bad, indifferent, anything.
Yeah, we're always definitely happy to hear what you think. Andy, I'm glad to have you kind of back in the mix here. We're hoping to see some more posts from you coming up here. I know it's been a rough couple months for you, but coming off vacation, you got to be relaxed and super pumped, right?
Ready to go. Ready to start checking out some Cal Poly sports. Ready to start kind of keeping up more with the sports of the day and giving something for people to come by and check out whenever they want to hear about an opinion or a report on something that we cover. So, yeah, go by and check us out, manfishit.com.
All right, dude. Listen, it's fun to talk to you, and I'll be in town next week, so maybe we'll do it again next week.
All right, we can do a live one next week. How about that?
That would be fantastic.
All right, we can get Luke going, so we need to get him going.
And next time I talk to you, I will have ridden 100 miles on my bicycle coming up on Saturday. So wish me luck. I'm going to be zooming by Armstrong.
I want you to tell Matt Jones that for me. I haven't talked to that guy in a long time.
I'll tell him and his muscle tie.
There you go. Cool.
All right. Hey, Andy, talk to you later.
Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.
I'm feeling fresh. After a whole night of rest, I'm the master of the class because I passed the test. Just adjust. He thinks it's culturally biased, but I don't even care. It seemed easy to my ass. 98, 99, 100, I'm done. And I look up at the clock, I think it's time to run. Should I turn it in or just write a new rhyme? Or I can sit back and relax, act like I'm taking my time. Faking is fine, and everybody would be looking surly if I got up out of class like 30 minutes early. I'm cool. It's just that I'm getting hungry. Wait a minute, man. I don't even have any lunch money. I'm struggling, cause my pockets full of lint. I'm struggling. My job don't pay me shit, cause I'm struggling. I'm gonna kneel down and sob. I need to get a real job.
Writing rhymes, wasting time, waiting in line, trying to get mine
when I'm on the grind.
Struggling dudes, hustling too.